Hi, I'm Erica Kirk with Agents of Prayer, and I empower real estate agents around the country to bring a little bit of the kingdom, or a lot of the kingdom, into their environments and into their cities.
And today we're going to talk about...
If you know who you are, you don't want to be someone else. And we're talking today with my friend...
Cody. Hi, my name's Cody. I'm the owner of Bearclaw Media, and we help small businesses become big businesses.
And he's very good at it. I'm just saying.
And smart. Actually, you know what?
No, what? There's no telling.
I just realized that I changed my branding, and we're now Bearclaw Creative.
Okay, so he's
Bearclaw Creative.
BCC, right?
Yeah.
Cool. What was your decision? Why'd you do that?
The URL was open.
Brilliance.
Because I wanted to also work with designers and website developers.
Sure.
And I wanted to start working towards the goal of bringing new people in to be under the umbrella of Bearclaw Creative so that I can then help small businesses become big businesses in all avenues.
Okay, that makes sense. That's probably a better name or title for your business.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations. You could have told me that when you did it.
It happened like last week, so.
Oh, well, congratulations.
But Bearclaw Creative is what it is now.
So Bearclaw Creative is who you are. You were pretending to be somebody else. And
no.
Teasing you.
It was a rebrand to try and become someone, right. Something different.
Right.
But
more in line with what God called you to do.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
More in line with helping small businesses become big businesses in all digital avenues.
Gotcha.
So originally it was just like marketing. Now it's marketing, creative. Website,
yeah.
Design, logos, all the stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So if you know who you are, you won't want to become someone else.
Thank you,
but
Jesus.
How do you know who you are?
You know what? I think there's a lot of people in this world that don't know who they are, that try to emulate and be other people based on what they are experiencing or looking at in either social, or they're looking at through television, entertainment, instead of truly looking to God and seeing who they really are.
How do you feel about fake it till you make it? I feel like those two go together. If you know who you are.
Okay, there is a lot. I have this love-hate with that. So I know that sometimes when I'm upset or not in the mood to be nice, I know that if I fake it, if I put a smile on my face and try not to talk with an attitude, that eventually my attitude will change. So if my attitude changes because I faked it, is that really fake? Or is that just making a decision to change my attitude? The fake it till you make it, I think, I don't, this is just me, I think it creates inauthenticity, which will either one, crumble eventually, or two, not be something people can attach themselves to. People know when you're not being authentic to who God calls you to be. They know. So that's just the way I feel about it.
Well, I just feel like those two go together. Like,
they do.
If you know who you are, then you shouldn't have to fake it.
No, you shouldn't have to fake it at all. Now, yes, we have talked before about taking the next step. Sometimes you do have to walk into an area where you don't know what you're doing. But I don't know that it's faking it at that point or just relying on God to show you and give you the means to achieve what you need to achieve.
Yeah.
But also at the same time being humble and saying, you know, I don't know how to do this. How do I reach out for help?
Yeah. Well, so I have a love-hate relationship with fake it till you make it because someone in my life came into the same kind of profession as me.
Right.
That they wanted to do marketing. And they proclaimed that they were the number one best marketer in all of Kansas City. And I was like, but you've been doing it for 12 days.
Okay. Ooh, okay, that drives me nuts. Because there is inauthenticity.
But is that still fake it till you make it? Because they're expecting that sometime in the near future, they will become one of the best marketers in Kansas City.
I don't know. I don't agree with that at all.
I don't either, but...
I don't either. I think that's not being truthful at all. And you could really do some harm if people truly believe that that's who you are right now. If they don't know that you're still growing, then you have been deceptive to the people you're working with.
Yeah.
It's like I've talked about with a friend of mine, the number one bestseller on Amazon. You only have to sell like 12 or 15 books to get it to be a number one bestseller. So do you claim that as, I am a number one bestseller on Amazon? Well, D2, hey, congrats on your 12 books.
Yeah.
That's great. It doesn't really make you a bestseller. It does on Amazon. But it's really not who you are. So I wrote a devotional not long ago about marketing peace, and actually P-E-A-C-E instead of peace, marketing peace, just throwing it out there. Number one this, number then that, number one that. Marketing truth is marketing peace. Sorry, I could go off on this. I'm just like,
How do you jump over that hurdle? So I started a business in some way. I don't know. Let's say an apparel company, okay? So I've started an apparel company, and I say that our t-shirts are the best t-shirts with the coolest designs that you've ever seen, and they're worthy of being on the same line as Gucci and any other brand. But I just go to my local print shop and print my t-shirts, and they use whatever t-shirt they have. But I'm expecting to get there. I'm expecting to get there. So is that still... How do you fake it? How do you not fake it, but still believe in getting better?
Okay, you could still believe in getting better and still behave as if you're getting better and not be inauthentic.
But how do you tell people, I'm going to get better, trust me?
Well... Your opinion of your t-shirts, let's say, could be that they're the best. That's fine. But you say, my opinion is my t-shirts are the best.
But like, you know? So, I mean, you could go a little closer to home. If I was a marketer, I am a marketer.
You're a creative.
I am a creative too. But in marketing, say I start saying that I'm the best, you know, in some way, shape or form because of whatever reasoning behind that. But I started 5 days ago.
Right.
I'm now the best social media marketer in all of Kansas City because I started 5 days ago.
So are you comparing yourself to somebody else, or are you just declaring that I am the best?
I don't.
So I think if you're not being authentic, if you're not being who, you know.
How do I get clients if I'm not inauthentic, though?
Hold on. But if you're authentic, you'll get clients. I don't think you necessarily have to have the great big huge background. And I don't think you necessarily have to have the thousands of transactions or whatever you need to have to get a client. I think it boils down to relationship more than marketing, if you know what I mean. It's not puffing up what you have to say about yourself. Because if you come in, let's just say you and I meet and you puff up about how great you are, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be like, yeah, he is full of himself and I am not going to use him. But if you came in and said, well, here's the deal, Erica, I can do this and this and this for you. I'll try my best, but I have a family and another job. But I will do the best I can with the time I have for you. And this is what you can expect, kind of like what you did with me. And I would hire that in a heartbeat before somebody who came in all boasting about how great they are. Because to me, when I look at that, I think you are so full of yourself.
Yeah, but not every client's going to be like that.
No, and they're not. But do you want to work with them, really?
I mean, yeah. At the beginning, I feel like a lot of people are accepting of whatever comes their way.
Which is unfortunate, because you can get yourself into complete trouble or even emotional trouble. I have always said in my business that the people that are the hardest to get to sign an agreement with are not the people I want to work with, because they're going to be hard throughout the whole thing. They're going to be difficult throughout the whole thing, because that's not who God intended for me to work with. It is simply not who God wanted me to work with. So it'll be difficult.
Yeah.
So, years ago when I transformed my business and said, okay, God, it's yours, not mine. I'm tired of pursuing. I'm tired of running after people. I'm tired of this inauthentic marketing. My business was transformed, and I rarely market. I mean, I get people that just show up that need my help. And I love that, because I know that God truly meant for them to come to me, and that there's a reason that I have them in my life. And most everybody that I worked with has been a good friend from here on out, because they enrich my life as much as I enrich theirs. I hope I enrich theirs.
Well, what I've seen is when people start a business, they start saying that they're this, that, or the other, and they want to get to whatever the next step is. They want to get to the level of success that they are expecting as fast as possible. But also, a lot of people still have to work a job they hate.
Sure.
And they're doing this, I'm going to make a business so that I can get out of this job that I hate and do something that looks fun. And not maybe not even look fun. I'm going to do this because it's going to make me a lot of money. And I'm going to do it fast. I'm going to get there as fast as possible. All I have to do is just tell people that I'm the best, and eventually they'll see it, and then they'll pick me, and I'll, you know, take all their money, and then I'll do the job. Good things will happen.
I'm going to interrupt you. I think for some people that looks good at first, but they grind out and they don't rest, and then they may have this great successful business, but you need to look at the catastrophe and the chaos they've left in the meantime. The surrounding, the others. And I'm not saying that God has everybody go slow, because sometimes it is like, boom, you stepped into something and God says, you're ready, let's go.
Yeah.
And it works out. But when that happens, there is rest and peace associated with that, not chaos and conundrums and broken relationships and things. So,
yeah.
Makes sense.
So the calling side of things. So God's calling is literally tied to you. That's what I wrote down. Yeah. It has more to do with who you are becoming as a person than it does how many dollars can you put in a bank account.
Sure. It has to do with your giftings.
Yeah. But it has to do with, how do you improve as an individual? How do you improve your marriage, your friendships, your working relationships? How do you improve all of those while at the same time continually grow your business? And I don't think we have a whole lot of healthy examples of that in the world. And the majority of people that are big business owners are, you know, atheists, or they believe in Christ, but they don't say anything about it. They don't act on it. And it's a lot of like cutthroat.
A lot of people leave their faithfulness at church on Sunday and don't bring the kingdom into the marketplace like we should. I mean, we spend Monday through Friday. Sometimes people spend Monday through Sunday, all 7 days in the marketplace, and they totally ignore who they're called to be. And that's a problem, because that's where the bulk of our time is spent, and that's exactly where we should be bringing kingdom. That's exactly where God's love should be shared. And we should be unabashedly unafraid to say, you know what? I'm going to do this God's way, and y'all are going to have to be okay with that.
But how do I chase something? Obviously not me, but how would someone who's starting out, or maybe who's currently running a business, how do they chase something that they've never seen before, that the majority of the people show, I don't want to call it apex because it sounds like they're top, but like apex, like predator, apex, like feelings. It's mm-hmm. a lot
what
of people
do you mean by chase?
A lot of people equate success with a type, it's not even type A, but type A personality, right. quote unquote. That I'm the aggressive, I'm the winner, I'm that guy. Rah. And it's like, how do you realize that you're not that? And obviously that's coming from someone who was trying to be that.
Right.
And then realized that I'm not that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the way I always say it is I'm just a little more squishy. Less hard edge, more squishy.
More squishy. I'm just a hugger.
Yeah. But
it doesn't mean you can't be successful. It just means that the way your success shows up is different, and success doesn't necessarily correlate with money.
But in the marketplace, people would say the opposite. You're not going to be successful if you're not an apex. If you're not in type A, if you're not, you know, if
so
you're...
So who are you looking at? Are you looking at the world's definition or are you looking at God's definition?
That's a good question.
And that's, I think, when you start to look at God's definition of success and stop looking at what the world says to do, there'll be peace in what he's called you to do, and you will see that it is absolutely tied to who you are.
That's even in the church, though. Right. I mean, you see pastors that are, I'm the apex guy. I scream at church that people need to follow me and that people need to do what I tell them to do. And, you know, I'm the apex guy. I'm the head leader. I'm the head pastor. I'm the, you know, and it's like,
I do everything. I think you know, there's some arrogance around
anointed that. By God. I am the guy. Like, how do you, one, there's a lot of people that feel that, and that's fine if that's your, that's actually how you are.
Anointing to go along with it.
That's true. But if that's actually how you are, you're type A, you're aggressive, you win, you know, you feel success by achievement, mm-hmm. say. But if you're not, that's the majority of us.
Right.
How do you accept that? How do you accept that you're not what everybody else claims you have to be successful?
Well, since I'm 52, I think a lot of it has to, for me, at least knowing who I am, to the core of who I am, is not only very steady, but it's always moving. And I am comfortable with the fact that I know who I am, and I know that there are people in my life that aren't going to like who I am.
But how do you get there?
How did I get there? You know, I am, again, 52. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen for somebody who's under 30 or under 20.
I mean, the majority
how
of people...
are you?
I'm 27. Okay, but the majority of people that are trying to start a business, right? That are trying to do something on the side or, you know, whatever, they're... The majority of the time, they're younger or they're stay-at-home moms.
Right.
I've seen prevalently the majority of people who are trying to start a business that have these kind of situations that are feeling this are younger or they're you know, stay-at-home moms and they don't have.
So they're looking to this plethora of people that are on social and they're looking to that. And I'm not saying it's always bad. I'm saying they're looking at some unrealistic expectation that doesn't account for the fact that they have two little ones at home or they have a life. So, and it may not even be an accurate representation of what's actually happening. It's just the persona that shows up for people to look at, and it may not actually be real. I think what the most important thing you can do is to find a mentor, find somebody who's been through it and links arms with them and actually delve into who you are. And it's got to be a trusted person, somebody that is grounded and knows who they are in Christ so that they can say, well, let's figure this out. Let's go deep and let's figure out who you are and what you want to do. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
This topic specifically, I picked this because I saw a thing on a famous individual who he's like, I was successful as an actor and I still did not like the person that I was.
Yeah.
I was, you know, a millionaire. I had money. I had everything that I wanted. And I still felt like I wasn't enough because I didn't look like the other actors.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like the other actors. And like,
who are probably saying the same thing in their private time.
Probably.
I don't feel successful. Because I don't look like everybody else.
And this really boils down to self-acceptance.
Yeah.
So how do I accept that God's called me to be the way that I am? And that he's also called me to improve on the way that I am?
I think it boils down to, what is your relationship with Christ like, and how much do you lean into that, and how much do you listen to that? Because that, above everything else, is of utmost importance. That is what grounds you. The closer I get to Christ, the more I know who I am. Ooh, that sounded really hicky. The more I know who I am. But the closer I get, and the more time I spend in relationship, not just talking at him, but talking with him and walking with him and understanding who he is for me, really grounds who I am. Really makes me say, oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm calm. There is a sense of peace within who I am. And I think people can find that when they look to Jesus and they understand that Holy Spirit is living inside of them, that part of him is there.
So this is, let's say this is day one on, okay, I want to be self-accepting. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. I don't want to run my business the way everybody else is doing. I don't want to be the aggressive apex, quote unquote, type A.
Assuming God hasn't called you to be that.
Unless God calls you to be that.
Right.
I mean, but the majority of people aren't.
Right. Yeah.
And they're trying to bend themselves into a position to run that way. And like, you don't bend and run, you just keep running. Like, you don't just like bend your back sideways, you know, 90 degrees and then just run sideways. That's not how it works. You have to stand upright. Mm-hmm. But that's, to get upright, you have to be self-accepting, right? So how do you, what's a step you can take right now? So what is something that I can do right now to actually become more self-accepting?
Step you can do right now, pray. Seriously, I think you and I have talked about this. I'm not good at asking for prayer, but I think if you can't pray, then you have to have somebody else pray for you.
What if you don't know you're not self-accepting? How do you become self-aware?
Oh, man, that's a booger. That's a booger, because there is a spirit of arrogance that surrounds that at some point in time has to be broken, and it may be painfully expressed for who you are. And that is just, oh, man, that's a hard one, because if that arrogance is there, then you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. And then you continually have to prove yourself right. So know-it-alls are like that, where you're like, but hold on, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. And sometimes you just have to wait for God to break them. And then you have to be willing to come alongside them again and say, I gotcha.
Yeah.
We'll walk through this together. Is that what you're looking for? No?
Kind of. It's a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm specifically asking, how do you become self-aware to the point that you know that you're not self-accepting?
Oh.
What are those steps? You can even look at your own life. Personally, knowing that I wasn't okay with just being me.
Right.
I didn't conform to the typical form of masculinity, mm-hmm. Which is a whole nother thing. My heart breaks for people that feel like they have to be the man,
right?
Because I didn't fit that role. So my steps that I took was redefining masculinity. Mm-hmm. Masculinity is not, I'm aggressive, type A. I do, you know, I eat beef and I beat people. Like, yeah. That's not what masculinity really is. Masculinity should be, I love people, I care for people, I father people, I have a tender heart for people, because that's what a man should be doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Christ did. And I had to fight this. I had to fight for, if Christ was 100% the definition of masculinity, what does that look like? And that was the step to say, okay, I don't feel like that's what I am, but I also don't feel like what everybody else is saying is masculine is what I am. Mm-hmm. So where am I in this definition of, and I was lost, like straight up lost, mm-hmm. for two, three, four, I don't know how many years.
So what was the first step you took?
The first step that I took was just defining redefining the term.
And what precipitated, oh, I need to define that term.
I
need to redefine it.
I felt out of place.
You felt out of place.
So I saw everybody fitting in the mold. Mm-hmm. All of my friends were into sports. They, you know, played guitar. They wanted to do the things that were associated with masculine things.
Right.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a DJ. Like, I wanted to play music. I wanted to
make people happy. Let them dance.
And I combated the feeling of not feeling masculine. Now, I don't have the masculine traits as being goofy, making people laugh. Because to me, like, well, if I can't make people think that I'm a manly man, then at least I can make them laugh and they'll like me mm-hmm. to a degree, which actually, like, came out as, like, I'm just awful to be around because, yeah, I can make you laugh for, like...
But I'm never going to be serious and I'm going to drive you nuts.
And then when I am serious, people didn't take me serious.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't... So... But that was my, like... So teenage, growing up, you know, in my internship, and keep going, all the way into my marriage, and that caused huge problems with me and my wife. And I didn't know I wasn't okay with myself until I realized that I don't fit in the mold.
Yeah.
And I feel like the majority of people don't fit in the mold, and they feel like that.
Agree.
But if you just recognize... Who made the mold? Mm-hmm. No one. It was actually
made the mold.
It was funny. The thing that actually helped me the most was, I think it was Steve Jobs that actually said that no matter what you see, someone who's just as smart as you or slightly smarter than you made it, which means that you have a chance.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But like. I couldn't conform to that mold. I couldn't conform to what people say is masculine. And so I couldn't fit it. It just, it didn't work for me. And it doesn't work for a lot of people, especially when it comes to business. I can't fit in that mold still because I don't fit in that mold outside of business. Right. So I can't just randomly start fitting it. Now I'm in business. It's just...
So you have to look, I guess you have to look and see... You did remind me of some area, and I'll go back to that in a minute, but you have to look and see whether or not you have a peaceful heart or if there's unrest there. And unrest isn't always bad, but where's the root of that unrest? Is it unrest because I am not living where I'm supposed to, I'm trying to fit into a mold I'm not supposed to be in, or is it unrest because I need to move on? God's calling me to something different. When I first had my kids, I have a master's degree, first mm-hmm. of all. I don't use it. I have a master's degree. It was really important to me to stay home and raise my kids because my husband was gone 15 days a month just out of the nature of his job.
Yeah.
And so it was really important to me to stay home with the kids, but I felt for the longest time that I was less than because I wasn't a working mom like all my friends and like, you know, some of my family before me. That I didn't have something that I could call my business. And for several years, I was very depressed because I had this, I've got this master's degree, I should be using my master's degree, even though I didn't even want to work in that profession anymore. And then I had this, I want to stay home and raise my kids. And for me, it was saying goodbye and saying, okay, it's okay to say goodbye to that master's degree. And it's okay to say goodbye to that professional mom. And I'm not condemning anybody for choosing Nope. that. That's their choice. For me, when I said, okay, God, you called me to raise these kids. I'm going to do what you said. And I'm going to say goodbye to... this persona I thought I was, give me peace and let's just move on. As soon as I said goodbye to that past and said hello to my family, my depression was gone. I actually operated, well, I hope I'm a good mom. I know that I have a business family, kids are older and they finally said, Mom, it's okay. If you want to do something with that, go ahead. But for me, it was just really being okay and admitting that it wasn't a failure to let that go, that past go, but it actually was a success to say, look what I did, But look at the importance I'm doing now. I'm raising the next generation.
Yeah.
Dang it, boy, you're going to get me to cry on every one of these. Whatever.
That's the goal. Yeah. How do you... So the people that are trying to conform feel horribly depressed. That's just a fact. I don't know how else to... you would feel, because that's what I was feeling.
Right.
Felt depression, which is another thing. Men don't feel depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't always show up in the world when they go out.
No.
You don't know. And some people don't know that they're depressed.
A lot of people didn't know I was depressed. They probably still don't know that I had depression back when I was feeling this. But that was another thing. Men don't feel depression. Yeah. Men don't feel that. Like, that's the conforming. Like, the mold I have to set in is... That. And so it's like, no, that's not me. That's where I kind of come up with this term. Like, I'm a little more squishy than that. Like, I feel the things. Like, yeah. How I can't not feel the things. I'm like, my wife will tell you.
You're very empathetic, so.
Everybody knows exactly what I'm feeling at any point in time because I say it. It's on my face. Like, it doesn't hide. I can't.
But isn't that a great way, like, to teach your children? That you are recreating the mold for this next generation.
Yeah.
You're saying, look, we all come in all different sizes and abilities, and the way we react to this, to situations, is all different.
Yeah.
And every way that everything's okay. I mean, it's okay to be who I am.
Yeah. So the way that I really started learning to that I wasn't self-accepting was in complete and total silence.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like...
People have a hard time with that.
I know. So I saw this thing on meditation. It's basically the dark thoughts. The thoughts of like, I'm going to do something mean. I'm going to do something rough. It all happens in silence because it just does. That's the way that our brain is wired. But the silence is freeing.
Yeah.
And...
Gives you a chance to actually address those thoughts.
Yeah. It gives you a moment to actually hear God.
Sure. Be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
Which isn't stop talking. It's just being still.
Sometimes it's just shut up.
Well, sometimes it is just shut up. But my dad used to say, it's just shut up and let God do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, sometimes you're talking over God so much. It doesn't stop. It's just so much over and over and over again. I'm talking over God. And it's just being quiet for a few seconds. Letting the silence burn into you. Mm-hmm. And then... let God show you who you are.
I think our society as a whole has trouble just chilling and being silent.
I think humans. Because I don't think that... So specifically back to the struggle that I felt was, mm-hmm. I don't feel the masculine terms. I don't fit into the mold of masculinity. Was built from people who had a lot of time to be silent.
Yeah.
So, I mean... it's generation on generation on generation. This is like, they call it toxic masculinity now. I don't like that term, but I get where it came from. Mm-hmm. But the people that turned it into this, you have to be this to be called a man. They had plenty of time to be silent and they just chose not to. They chose not to look inside. So
what's scary to look inside? I mean,
what else are you here for?
I know, that's just it. The most, you know, that goes back. I have experienced someone very special to me was, you know, trying to commit suicide. Mm. And she didn't think, praise God.
Yeah.
But her story about the thoughts that went through her head, it's very, disturbing to me, but at the same time I'm like, did you let them run their course? Did you tell them they weren't true?
Yeah.
And yes, there came a point where she said, no more, I'm God's child, no more.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And I think for all of us there is that silence is important to just say, yeah, that's why people need prayer closets, they need prayer time. It's so important just to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have a relationship unless you sit with somebody, really sit with them and just enjoy who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk to somebody all you want, but unless you really just sit with them, it's like going to a funeral or being at, let's just say when my dad died, people would come up and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And really all I wanted them to do was just sit there, hold my hand.
Yeah.
And be silent.
Be silent.
Just be silent.
Understanding who you are. So first, I think the number one goal is to realize I don't fit the mold, which means that I'm trying to fit a mold. Like, accept that. Number one step, I'm trying to fit a mold, and I don't. And that would be my, like, if anybody is feeling the same thing I'm feeling, if your business isn't, you know, going in the same direction as the people you claim are successful or the people that you want to be like, but you're not.
But you're not, because God called you somewhere else. Or a different path.
Yeah.
You may get there, but it'd be a different path.
Yeah, you could end up at the same finish line and run a different race.
Sure.
I mean,
you could just all of a sudden end up at the finish line.
You could.
You know, God just took you there.
Yeah. So first accept that
there's
mold and you may not fit it. And if you don't, that's an okay thing. Yeah. Most of the time it's a good thing. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Like, if you're specifically in a law profession or doctor and you're trying to not conform to the rules, that's probably a problem.
Yeah.
But if you don't feel like everybody else is this type of person and I'm not that type of person, that's an okay feeling to have. Accept it. Leave the mold to the side and keep going. It's going to be okay. Understanding that, accepting that, I'm not going to fit the mold. I'm not ever going to fit the mold.
And it's okay to not fit the mold, but still work inside.
So yeah.
You mentioned doctors, lawyers, realtors, mortgage people, all these people that are heavily regulated businesses, they still have to operate within the confines of what the law says to do. But if you're just being who you are within that, then you can operate in that, but you don't have to conform to it. You don't have to look like everybody else, but you still can operate in it.
Yeah.
And it's peaceful.
So, number one thing, know that there's a mold. Two, drop it to the side. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, break it.
Three is be quiet for a little bit. I think there's a good 4 years of just shutting up that I didn't say anything to. In my prayer time, I just sat there and listened.
For me, it was journaling.
Really?
And that's where I have, and more and more today, I am realizing that I have always been a writer, but for the longest time, I ignored it. And to open up the journal and start writing again, it's, and Agents of Prayer has done that for me when I write. Yeah. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so important. It's a good outlet for me. I know that there are some people that need that too.
Hmm.
That's how they connect. That's how I connect.
Yeah. So you'd say the next step would be finding out how you connect or finding out how you can learn more about yourself. Because it's not always going to be, I'm going to a psychiatrist to tell me who I am. Like, sometimes it might just be, I'm going to sit down and listen to what God has to say or find someone that you trust and ask them, what do I look like outside of myself? Like, you're a friend of mine. What do I look like outside of myself?
If they're a true friend, they're going to know.
Yeah. And like, also accepting, you have to be able to say, okay, I'll accept whatever you're saying, take it in, internalize it, try and figure it out. And then if I really, really, really don't agree with that, I'll just throw it away.
Okay, so that, I think you bring up a good point. If you are going to go down that avenue and you are going to ask somebody to be honest with who they think you are, number one, you have to give them permission. And you have to verbally say, you know what, this may hurt. This may hurt.
That's fine. I might need a pause. I gotta switch the battery.
Important to walk up to whoever you're going to talk to, your friend, trusted person, and say, I'm going to ask you a question.
Probably an older person. Just small tip.
Yeah, probably.
Just make it someone who's a little bit older, a little bit wiser than you.
But I think the important thing that you need to do is give them permission verbally. Say, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to know that you have permission to tell me the truth, and that I will take that, whatever you think, and I will not get mad or angry with you. I may get mad and angry, but it will not be with you. And a promise that I won't distort our relationship because you spoke truth in me. And I think if you're going to say that, you have to be absolutely prepared for what they're going to say to you.
Because you're never going to be prepared for that, though.
Well, you're not. But you have to be absolutely prepared. And I've done this before, and it is very hard. But you have to be absolutely prepared to gather what they say. And yes, if it doesn't ring true, throw it in a bag. Throw it out. But if there is an inkling of truth in what they have to say, then you have to be willing to explore that and not blame them for that, because they're just calling you out and up into what God calls you to be.
And you ask for it.
And you ask for it. Yeah. And if you ask for it, you better be ready to take it.
Yeah.
Whatever they dish out. Okay. And if you're asking the right person, Cody, they won't be mean-spirited about it. It'll be with truth and compassion. And that's where maybe an older person with some wisdom comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done it with a peer, and it did not turn out well.
No.
I've also done the same thing with someone a little bit older than me, some wiser than me, and it was a challenge. But right. It hurt to make me better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Just don't kill off that relationship because what they spoke truth. And that can be sometimes hard, because it will change a relationship, but it doesn't necessarily mean that relationship has to be killed off. You've got to learn how to work through that too, and that's another step God will lead you through.
So, if you know who you are, you won't want to be someone else.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be someone else.
How can you tell? What would you tell someone who is not, who wants to be somebody else and is not who they?
What I would say to you is that it's important to figure out who you are and to be okay with it, because who you are is exactly who called you to be. God called you to be, and there is extreme peace and confidence that comes with that. And it's okay. You may destroy some relationships along the way, but those weren't authentic relationships anyway. And you've got to be okay with the changes that God brings to you for being who you are.
And how could you summarize becoming self-accepting?
Becoming self-accepting. You got to figure out how you can talk to Jesus about this. Whether it's in your quiet space meditating, whether it's with a journal and a notepad, singing, dancing, wherever you find the most connection with Jesus and with the relationship you're building with him, do that over and over and over and over again, and lean into it, and who you really are will be revealed. So I want to say thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next time. Again, my name is Erica Kirk. I facilitate Agents of Prayer on Facebook, and if you are a real estate industry person, come join us.